All right, here we are tonight. It's good to be together for our next installment, our Bible study on Revelation. We are still in Revelation 13, even been there for the past couple of weeks. So we want to continue our study, verse by verse study in the book of Revelation. We're in Revelation 13, and we're looking at bringing the future into focus. We want to cover a few aspects here, and tonight is a bit of an addendum, if you will, on verses 1 and 2. And the reason I say that is that we're going to do a little more dissection on the position and person of the Antichrist, as we've looked at over the past couple of weeks. Tonight we're going to do some comparison study in the book of Daniel. So let's look again in our text verse, Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. And the Bible said, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw the beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his heads 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority." Father in heaven, I just come before you tonight and ask that you may bless this time of Bible study. Lord, open up our hearts and enlighten our minds, dear God, to the precious word of God. And Lord, we just pray that we're thankful this evening that as a born-again believer in Christ, that we will have no need, nor purpose, nor time inside the tribulation period. But Father, we do pray that it would encourage us, but rather provoke us, and to be a witness to the lost and dying world today. Lord, we may see fruit come into fruition, that souls may be saved. So Lord, we give you honor, glory, and praise tonight during this Bible study time in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And so what we see here, we see in Revelation chapter 13, again, we looked quite intensely over the past 2 weeks at who he is and what he does, establishing him and in relation even to the kingdoms that he will be ruling when he is on this earth. So tonight we want to allow Scripture to answer Scripture. And so I want to show you a reference point here that we're going to break off in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 4. So turn your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And in verse 4, the Bible says, "Who opposeth," this is speaking again to the Antichrist, it's in context of verse 3, and we'll go ahead and read verse 3 if you'd like. The Bible says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there cometh fallen away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now we went over all that in great detail. Verse 4 says, "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." So that's the point that we want to see here. This Antichrist, he has shown himself that he is God. At this point in time during the tribulation period, we have Satan to have come down to earth as a man. This is Satan incarnate, if you will, walk into the temple, newly rebuilt in Jerusalem, actually walks into what's known as the Jewish Holy of Holies. And he sits upon the mercy seat, having each hand resting on the cherubims, pronouncing himself that he is God. And beloved, we have seen in great detail information again concerning the beast. We've looked at the beast, but tonight, what I want to do is I want to connect some dots, if you will, and fill in some voids of Revelation chapter 13, verse 2, and look in the Old Testament. Look in the Old Testament prophecy of this man here, this beast. Just as a quick note, you'll find that the word beast is spoken of more times in 4 chapters of the Bible than baptism ever is in the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Daniel with me. Daniel, we're going to be in Daniel chapter 7 to start out with tonight. And we're going to look at these things. So what we want to see here as we begin to connect the dots and fill in some voids in our Bible study is that from Revelation 13, verse 2, as we come from that passage of Scripture there speaking of the Antichrist in relation to what we see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, that he shows himself as God sitting upon that mercy seat. And so we see him in verse 2 that he is called the beast. And John says here, which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now we know that's Satan himself, Satan incarnate, who's given the power unto the Antichrist here. He's given his seat of authority as well, that he will rule and reign from a city initially, first 3.5 years, he will rule and reign from a city that sits upon 7 hills. When the Bible speaks of the whore that sitteth upon 7 hills, we know the 7 mountains that you see is in Vatican City. That's where he'll rule from the first 3.5 years. And the latter 3.5 years, we'll see that he rules from Jerusalem. And it starts here in Revelation 13:2, where he gets his seat, and we see the reference that he has pronounced himself as God from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So I know all those verses buzzing around in the air here. Let's go ahead and move on. So in Daniel chapter 7, we find all of the beast that are represented here in Revelation 13:2, we find them representing not only the Antichrist or types of, but earthly kingdoms and kings, and but we see them in a reverse order. So look in Daniel chapter 7 and just start reading in verse 3. Verse 3, it says, And 4 great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had 3 ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. Verse 6 says, and after this, behold, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it 4 wings of a fowl. The beast had also 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. And after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. It had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue of the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. We'll look at that here in just a little bit. Now, in verse 17 of this same chapter, we're going to see that the beast has a reference as kings, plural, but the 4th beast is referred to a kingdom in verse 23. So notice there in verse 17 of Daniel 7, these great beasts, plural, which are 4, are 4 kings which shall arise out of the earth. But if you skip down toward the end of the chapter there in verse 23, the Bible says in verse 23, thus he said, the 4th beast shall be the 4th kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall shred it down and break it in pieces. Now, just without going in much detail, verse 23 is referring to the Antichrist. This 4th beast is the Antichrist and his kingdom. And this is why we need to look at this in relation to verse 2 of the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation, to get a good, clear, keen understanding of who and exactly what we're dealing with. So if we know the locale of these beasts, all 4 of them, and even though they represent the earthly kingdoms, but they're typologies of the Antichrist, we can have some idea about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the rise of the Antichrist. So look there in the 7th chapter of the book of Daniel, and we'll hang around here. We'll stay in here probably the rest of the night. Daniel chapter 7, look at verses 1 through 3. And the Bible says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions upon his head. Had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, behold, the 4 winds of heaven strove upon the great sea, that's the Mediterranean Sea, and 4 beasts, it says there again, and 4 beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. And again, we've already read verse 17, that's in connection to the Antichrist yet even again. But look at verse 18 as well. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdoms and possess the kingdoms forever, even forever and ever. So it's speaking of these 4 beasts, which we see here, the 4 kings, representation of the Antichrist, we know, the 4th being the Antichrist and his kingdom. But in verse 18, we find this reference here of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see the beast are destroyed by the second coming of Christ. As soon as the 4th beast is mentioned in verse 23, we find immediately following the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, verses 24 through 25. So in verses 24 through 25 of Daniel 7, let's read them quickly. The 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. He shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. That's 3 1/2. We've seen that already in Revelation chapter 13. We spoke of that here in the weeks past. So we find in verses 24 and 25, the fourth kingdom is mentioned, just like it is in the kingdom, speaking of Revelation 13. Verse 25 is that which comes later, which is the Antichrist, okay? And so this verse 25 here was referring to him wearing out the saints. That's what we see he's attacking the saints these latter 3.5 years, as we've talked about so much over the past several weeks. So here's another picture of that, but we know victory, of course, is going to be the Lord's. So the nuggets that we're going to look at tonight, the great golden nuggets that you find in the Word of God, is that we find it here in the book of Daniel. But here's the thing that we need to understand. We see who this Antichrist is. We see the kingdom that he is ruling here upon this earth. We see the representation of him being a leopard with bear's feet and so on and so on. We see those individual beasts in this dream of Daniel chapter 7. Now, the reason I wanted to start with that is because there's two dreams of Daniel, of the book of Daniel, concerning the kingdoms of the world. There's the dream, the vision of Daniel chapter 2, and then there's the dream and the vision of Daniel chapter 7. And for years, they have been forced to match one another. But, you know, I used to teach this and say with a deeper look or a deeper comparison of Scripture, one would find out that not to be true. But in reality, if you just study the Scriptures, just read the two chapters and read the two, the two chapters in full, there's something that's going to stick out real quick to help you understand exactly where these visions of the kingdoms of this world come into play and where they are lined up correctly. And you may be thinking right now, well, why is this important? Why is this important to us today? Many of this scripture here found in Daniel 2, Daniel 7, in relation to us looking at the Antichrist in Revelation 13, many of these scriptures have been used to downplay the reality of it being an Antichrist and trying to make it seem as if that which we're reading about in Revelation 13 has already transpired. Many would teach that most of it has transpired already in AD 70 with the destruction of Israel. I'm sorry, the destruction of Jerusalem under the leadership of General Flavius Titus, led by Rome. But we know that's not true. We know that this is all future. We're trying to bring the future into focus. And in order to do that, we got to look at what has already happened in the past and the prophecy that was given during this dream written in the book of Daniel, which was written about something that has yet to happen. That's why the 7-year tribulation period is referred to as Daniel's 70th week, because of the vision he received of God of 70 prophetic weeks that was applied unto Israel. So look at me real quick here. Look at this real quick at Daniel chapter 2, and look down toward toward the end of the chapter a little bit. We're going to look at this first dream here. We're going to go over it in great detail. I'm not going over, with Nebuchadnezzar had the dream when he met with Daniel and all this and that. We're just going to look at the dream itself and its interpretation. So look in verses 37 and 38 with me. 37 and 38, the Bible says, "Thou, O king," this is Daniel's interpretation of the dream. He saw this vision of a man with a head of gold and this and this and this and this. So watch this. Verse 37 says, "Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beast of the field and the fowls of the air, the fowls of heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and thou and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this," watch this, "thou art this head of gold." So the first kingdom that we see here in the dream of what Nebuchadnezzar saw is a head of gold. Okay, it's a head of gold. So the first kingdom spoken of here in the vision, Daniel chapter 2, is the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. It is the kingdom of Babylon. So this is Babylon. Look in verse 39. It says, "And after thee shall rise another kingdom inferior to thee." That's the kingdom of silver. We see that chest plate, if you will, of silver that is inside of the breast and his arms of silver that you see in verse 32. So silver being inferior to gold. This is the kingdom of the Medo-Persians. The Medo-Persians. It's a unified kingdom of Media and Persia. It was led by Darius, first and second. We know that. So King Darius led that siege in there, taking captive Babylon. So that's the first part of verse 39. I'll keep reading verse 39. It says, and another third kingdom of brass. Now, again, what do you find here? You're finding the devolution, if you will, of the material, whereas gold is a very worthy metal, and it just gets less and less value, silver, and now we're moving into that of brass. This third kingdom of brass, which again you see up in verse 32, and his belly and thighs of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. That is the next kingdom that comes into world play, and that is the Grecian kingdom. We know it was led by Philip of Macedon. It is that great ram there. His son Alexander the Great. They conquered the Medo-Persians, and they ruled under Greek rule. So the Grecian Empire is a symbolic of the brass, again, a more of an inferior metal. Now look at verse 40 with me. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. Now iron here, I understand it's strong, but far as worth goes, it's even more inferior than brass, silver, and gold, of course. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. Now that fourth kingdom is the Roman Empire. We know that Rome conquered Greece. Now in verses 42 and 44, this is the kingdom of the Antichrist. This is the kingdom that is yet to be seen. It is a kingdom that is future tense, even for us sitting here tonight. Verse 42 says, "And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, and they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay." Verse 44, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Here's the interesting fact. This last kingdom here, verses 42 through 44, the one that is consumed, is the Antichrist. This is that 10-toed, 10-confederate kingdom that you'll read about over in the dream over there that Nebuchadnezzar had. That in verse 33, his legs of iron, his feet part iron and part clay, mingled together. Here's what's interesting, these 10 toes that are on the feet. 10 is the number of the Gentile. And as soon as it shows up, the second coming of Christ follows. So as soon as you find this kingdom appear, verse 42 and 43, the very next verse you see the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Interesting. Here's another interesting thought: is that Noah is the tenth from Adam, according to Genesis chapter 5, Adam being number one, and he's the father of the Gentiles, having his Gentile nation separated in Genesis chapter 10. So with 10 toes in Daniel chapter 2, then comes the Lord Jesus Christ in verses 44 and 45 of Daniel chapter 2, the destruction, okay? Now, from what we saw in Revelation 13 and what we saw in Daniel chapter 7, you have a 10-horned kingdom, okay? And you have a 10-toed kingdom in Daniel chapter 2. All that sounds pretty good. Sounds like it's coming together. And then all of a sudden, in Daniel chapter 7, verses 24 and 25, you got this 10-horned kingdom. And then immediately in verses 26 and 27 of Daniel chapter 7, you got the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have the same thing that ties together in those latter kingdoms, those final kingdoms, in Daniel 2 as you do in Daniel 7. And that's where the confusion comes. There's a great number of similarities with the two dreams, but in reality, they do not overlap. They do not match identically, okay? The view, which is known as the popular teaching, there's a popular teaching that these two dreams do overlap and match one another. And so here's the view. The view of combining the two dreams, the popular teaching, if you will, appears as follows. You got the lion of Daniel chapter 7 and verse 4 is they overlap with Daniel chapter 2 verse 37 as the king of Babylon. The king of Babylon, okay? So then you have the bear of Daniel chapter 7 to verse 5, and they overlap that with the Medo-Persian Empire of Daniel chapter 2 verse 39. Then you have the leopard of Daniel chapter 7 verse 6, and they overlap that with the Grecian kingdom, or the Greeks, if you will, from Daniel chapter 2 and verse 39 again. We spoke about that one. And then you got the fourth beast, okay, this fourth kingdom that comes up, the fourth king, I should say, Daniel chapter 7, verse 7, being the Roman Empire. They teach that it's of the Roman Empire from Daniel chapter 2 and verse 40. And then, of course, we have the little horn, Daniel 7, verses 8, 20 and 25 that we haven't looked at yet, but we will here shortly. And they overlap that with the 10 toes of Daniel chapter 2, verses 41 through 42. Now, all of this looks good, and all of this sounds even better, if you will. But there's just one little teeny monkey wrench that kind of messes everything up, if you will. Look in Daniel 7 again. I want you to look at verse 1. It's something that we most people typically miss when they lean toward that direction of overlapping these dreams and seeing that they match identically. In Daniel 7, verse 1, the Bible says, "And in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed." This is the first year of Belshazzar, all right, king of Babylon, correct? Well, Belshazzar came after Nebuchadnezzar, who is clearly the head of gold, according to the first dream in Daniel chapter 2. Belshazzar is the final king of Babylon. So watch this and compare scripture with scripture and see how it clearly, just before your eyes, unfolds. The lion of Daniel chapter 7 must come after Belshazzar, who is the final king of Babylon. Okay, remember, the kingdom is the head of gold. Therefore, the lion cannot be equal to the head of gold, matching up in Daniel chapter 2, because obviously with Belshazzar being the final king of Babylon, it's already passed. You know, this kingdom has already passed. You know, the four beasts that arise in Daniel chapter 7 are said to be the four kingdoms or kings that rise after Babylon is finished. So remember that. You have one kingdom being the head of gold in Daniel chapter 2, and that kingdom is coming to an abrupt end with Belshazzar here, and the next kingdom on the mark is the Medo-Persian kingdom. So when Daniel has the dream, he dreams this in the first year of Belshazzar, who is murdered in Daniel chapter 5, verses 29 through 30, when the Medes and the Persians take control over the kingdom. So with that said, let's look at it through scripture, answering scripture, and allow the Bible to teach us exactly where the vision of Daniel chapter 7 aligns with the kingdoms of this world and how that applies in Revelation 13. You'll notice there in Daniel chapter 4, with the first, speaking of these four beasts out of verse 3, Daniel chapter 7, verse 4 says, "The first beast, or the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings, and beheld till the wings thereof were plucked," so on and so on. This lion here, Daniel chapter 7, verse 4, has to be, without controversy, the Medo-Persian kingdom. Okay? It's not, it cannot be Babylon, because Babylon's coming to an end. As a matter of fact, it's coming to an end, quickly. So we got the lion is the Medo-Persian Empire, which leads us to the next one, which is the bear. Daniel chapter 7 verse 5 would be the Grecian Empire, the reigning and ruling Greeks. The leopard of Daniel chapter 7 and verse 6 is now the Roman Empire. Now here's where many go wrong. They try to say that fourth beast is the Roman Empire, again trying to make every one of these events past. But they're not. The leopard, Daniel chapter 7, verse 6, is the Roman Empire. So this fourth beast of Daniel chapter 7, verse 7, "And after this I saw in the night visions, I behold a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. It had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns." This is the kingdom of the Antichrist. So this is the Antichrist kingdom. Then lo and behold, in verse 8, we see this little horn. I told you I was going to mention here later on, this little horn, Daniel chapter 7, verse 8. "And I consider the horns," he says. All right, those 10 horns, by the way, of verse 7, it's 10 nations or 10 kingdoms. And it could be 10 regions, to be honest with you. But verse 8, "And I consider the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things." Now we know, as we read in 2 Thessalonians, that he's going to do great wonders. We know he's going to speak great swelling words, the Bible tells us. So this little horn is who? It's none other than the Antichrist. Now, the little horn of Daniel 7:8 actually does line up with the Antichrist and the 10 toes there of Daniel chapter 2. So it lines up there correctly. having the 10 horns and the 10 toes, and the Antichrist being his kingdom, the fourth beast of Daniel 7, verse 7, and the little horn being himself personified that we read about in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 4, and Revelation chapter 13 and verse 2. So this little horn is the very same beast spoken of in Revelation 13, 2, speaking great swelling words, doing great things, great and wonderful things to deceive the people. This is the same one that we read about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, who will show himself that he is God. So we've seen all this, and we see this in order to grow our knowledge of the Word of God, as well as what lies before us, bringing into focus the future that is before this world. But beloved, we need to understand, as saints of God, we're here to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, and the greatest thing that we can do is to be a witness for Jesus Christ in this life. So because there is a time when we know upon this earth that there will be no chance of salvation, you know, if someone has heard the gospel tonight, if they heard the gospel today, when the rapture occurs, if they're not saved, it will be too late for them. We know that also in Paul's writing in 2 Thessalonians. Saying all that really to say this, the clear teaching of this is to be concise on the Word of God, allowing Scripture to answer Scripture. And in doing so, what we end up doing is we help ourselves to provoke us as Christians today to be a greater witness in this world. So I'm going to leave you there. We're going to stop there for this evening. We'll be done Revelation chapter 13. And so we just look at a little bit of a nuggets. Next week, we're probably going to look at the night as we continue a comparison study there in the book of Daniel Revelation. And don't forget, we'll be starting our study in the book of Revelation. Our study in the book of Daniel here during our morning Wednesday Bible studies in September. I believe September 7th is when that will start. So anyway, let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time together. We just ask you now to please continue to watch over us and give us guidance, grace, and mercy. Lord, take your holy word written upon our hearts today that we may please you in all things.